Man of the People.
"Snake!" screamed a woman, and Vic recoiled, then realized it wasn't a warning but a sales pitch. "Best snake meat!"
She waved something like a length of red rope in Tallow's horrified face, and Vic barged past, shoving people out of the way. Politeness got you nowhere in Westport. It didn't get you far anywhere.
"Never been nowhere so busy in my life!" gasped Tallow,
dodging a stringy Suljuk woman juggling goods. Westport was always too hot, but with the ovens, braziers and cook fires of a dozen different cultures burning all around them, it was stifling. A bearded man loomed up with blades in his hands, and Vic went for her pocket, but they were only skewers covered in singed lumps of meat.
"You never tasted lamb so tender!" he roared in Tallow's face. "Thanks, but..."
"Don't speak if silence will do," grunted Vic, dragging him on. "To these folk, no is the start of a conversation. There he is." She caught a glimpse of Salome Shudra through the shimmering haze above a great pan of rice, three guards sticking close to him. Two were Styrians, big men, but none too skilled by Vic's reckoning. The third was a southerner with busy eyes and a scarred sword through his belt. The most dangerous of the three, the most likely to move fast. But no one can be ready all the time, especially in a crowd like this. All it would take was a moment to brush close, a quick movement of the blade, then away into the chaos before anyone realized that the man who might have led Westport out of the Union was dead.
"You sure about this?"
Tallow caught her by the elbow, hissing in her ear over the rattle of pans, spoons, knives, the calls of the hawkers.
"Lawson told us to leave him be."
"If I always did what I was told, I'd still be down a mine in Angland. Or dead."
Tallow raised his brows.
"Or both?"
"Probably."
She jerked her arm free and battled through a crowded archway after Shudra and his guards into a spice market, as blinding, deafening and choking in its own way as a Valbec mill. Baskets and barrels stood in teetering towers, shelves stacked with gleaming jars of oil. The colours were vivid in the sunlight, powders bright red, orange, yellow, leaves every shade of green and brown. Weights and coins rattled and clinked, men and women haggling in a dozen languages, screaming out that they had the best goods, the cheapest prices, the fairest measures. Shudra was ahead, talking with one of the traders in Styrian, then with another in some Cantic tongue, switching between the two and making them both laugh, shaking their hands, clapping their shoulders. Vic pretended to look at a stall covered in sticks of incense, hardly able to breathe for their reek, keeping one eye on Shudra through the seething crowd. He scooped up a handful of bright red buds from a basket and gave them a deep sniff, beamed at the merchant as though he never smelled anything so fine.
"Man of the people, eh?" muttered Tallow.
"Very likable," said Vic.
That's what made him such a threat. She felt the metal in her pocket knock against her stiff hip as she turned to follow him.
"But knives kill likable people just as easily as unlikable ones."
"Easier, if anything."
Tallow shrugged as she glanced around at him.
"The likable ones don't tend to be watching for it."
A great sedan chair was heaved in front of them, and Vic ducked under it, nearly knocking one of the carriers over and making the whole thing teeter, pushing on into a flood of people while the passengers screamed abuse after her. There was a blood-curdling roar, and Tallow jerked back from a cage, would have fallen if Vic hadn't caught him. There was a damned tiger inside. She'd never seen one before, could hardly believe the size of it, the power of it, the weight of bright fur and muscle, twisting angrily with its huge teeth bared.
"Bloody hell!"
squeaked Tallow as Vic dragged him up by one wrist. It was an animal market, a screeching, hooting, snarling menagerie. A boy shook a sad little monkey in Vic's face and she brushed it out of her way.
"Fuck you then!"
he spat in a thick accent and was gone among the faces. Vic bent down, trying to catch sight of Shudra through the forest of legs, then up on tiptoe. She waved towards a rooftop. One of her hired men was on a scaffold there, pretending to work at a crumbling chimney. He caught her eye, nodded at an alley.
"This way." Vic swung towards it, making sure not to run.
Between the high buildings, it was suddenly dark, slogans daubed on walls topped with rusted spikes. Eyes gleamed in doorways, watching them hurry past. A sunburned Northman, slumped in a heap of rubbish, shouted something, waving a bottle after them. Down steps, three at a time, fetid water splashing with each footfall, the alley so narrow Vic had to turn sideways to slip through. Chanting echoed from up ahead, then a babble of raised voices, then they burst out onto an expanse of worn paving. The great temple of Westport rose up at one side, six tall turrets like the Valbec chimneys, but capped with golden spikes rather than plumes of smoke. Platforms were scattered in front, stages where men and women stood in robes, in rags, festooned with talismans and beads, or brandishing books and staffs. Wailing in broken voices to little crescents of curious onlookers, tearing at the air with their hands, pointing skywards with clawing fingers, eyes popping with passion and certainty, promising salvation and threatening damnation. Each insisting all the rest were frauds, and they alone were the one with all the answers. Vic scorned them, pitied them, but underneath, well hidden, she envied them too. Wondered what it would be like to believe in something that much, enough to die for it, like Sybalt had, like Malma had, like her brother had. How wonderful it must feel to be certain, to know you stand on the right side instead of just the winning one. But you can't just choose to believe, can you?
"What the hell is this place?" muttered Tallow.
"Another market," said Vic, staring around for Shudra and his men.
"What are they selling?"
"God."
Now she saw him, gently nodding as he listened to one of the Karma prophets, his bodyguards distracted, unwary.
"This is the place," said Vic.
Just crowded enough, plenty of escape routes, but so much confusion that a little more would hardly raise a brow, not until it was far too late. She started towards Shudra, not too fast, not too slow, not looking right at him, no one to remark upon, easing one hand into her pocket. She strode past a woman stripped to her waist on a platform, on her knees in front of a crudely lettered sign, eyes brimming with ecstasy as she whipped herself, bare back a mass of new scratches and old scars.
"Repent!" she was screeching with every crack of the whip. "Repent!"
She twisted around, raised a trembling finger.
"Repent, sister!"
"Later,"
said Vic as she strode past. And now she saw the hooded figure, just where she'd guessed he'd be, walking towards Shudra, not too fast, not too slow, not looking right at him, no one to remark upon.
"There!" she hissed. "He doesn't look like much," said Tallow. "He'd be a poor assassin if he stood out."
She cut sideways through the crowd, then around a platform where a blistered old man was yelling at the heavens. She fell in behind the hooded figure, keeping pace as he slipped toward Shudra. Hoods are good for hiding you from others, but they hide them from you too. She eased her brass knuckles on, feeling the reassuring tickle of cold metal between her fingers. She saw the flash of steel as the hooded man pulled something from his pocket, held it down beside his leg, half hidden in the folds of his clothes. She quickened her pace, closing on him as he closed on Shudra, heart thumping hard now and her breath coming fast as she thought out how she'd do it. Shudra clapped as the prophet finished his sermon, turned smiling to say something to one of his guards, caught sight of the hooded man coming, frowned slightly. The hooded man stepped towards him, lifting the blade. Doesn't matter how skilled or tough or big a man is if he doesn't see you coming. Vic caught his wrist as the knife went up and hauled it down, pulling him backwards and punching him as hard as she could in the side of his knee. He gave a shocked gasp as his leg went from under him.
She twisted his arm, knife clattering down, dragged him around as he fell, and shoved him on his face on the stones, her knee in the small of his back. She hit him quick and hard, barking with each punch, in the kidney, in the armpit, in the side of his neck, and he quivered, back arched, gave a breathy wheeze, then went limp.
"Kesamir, then shanked, I presume," she forced through her gritted teeth.
She looked up at Shudra, who was staring down at her with wide eyes, his guards only now fumbling out their weapons.
"No need to worry. You're safe."
Her hired men were shoving through the crowd, one of them snapping manacles shut on the assassin's wrists, while the other dragged him groaning up under one arm.
"But you might want to head home and bar the door," she said as she stood, frowning into the crowd for any other threats. "Maybe stay off the streets until the vote."
"You saved my life," breathed Shudra. "Did the Styrians send you?"
Vic snorted.
"The Union sent me."
She was pleased to see he looked more shocked than ever, as she nodded towards the assassin, swearing noisily as her men dragged him away.
"The Styrians sent him,"